Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I am the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a podcast and a blog. I'm so excited to jump into today's episode because we have Megan Kober of the Nutrition Addiction on today. So she is a vodka-loving dietitian with a no BS approach to healthy eating. She's a blogger, nutrition coach, and founder of the nutritionaddiction.com. Megan's goal is to help people look and feel their absolute best by making sure their metabolism is working the way it's supposed to. She really focuses on burning fat and just making sure that you don't have to eliminate all your favorite foods and making sure that you can incorporate healthier habits. So for instance, as you can tell from her vodka-loving dietitian stance, she doesn't make you eliminate all of alcohol from your diet. She just wants you to make smarter choices. She's so informative. She is, literally a mastermind when it comes to nutrition. And just a little bit of a personal story, she actually created a pregnancy nutrition plan for me because I wanted to come up with a nutrition plan that fit into my lifestyle right now. I eat pretty healthy, but at the same time, I really wanted to make sure that I was eating all the nutrients that I need for my little baby that's growing inside me. So I hired her to make a nutrition plan for me. She also has a spring plan out right now. And within that spring plan, it has grocery lists. It has, you know, how to tackle going out to eat. It has, you know, the swap that breaks down why you need fiber, why you need protein. It provides the actual meals and the recipes for those meals. So that's really awesome. And if you message her, give her the code BYOK when purchasing the meal plan, you'll receive a discount off the meal plan. It's under $100. I want to say that it's $79 right now plus my discount, but I will definitely post that information in the show notes on my website and on my Instagram. She is freaking awesome. I really am confident that you guys are going to gain so much knowledge from this episode. Now, on to just chatting about our sponsor for a little bit, Cassandrino's Olive Oil. I don't know if many of you guys know this, but I grew up in an Italian household where we used olive oil literally in everything, from our pasta to our bread dip to our baking recipes. But it wasn't until about 6 months ago that I realized how important it was to invest in authentic and organic olive oil. That's why I've been using Cassandrino's olive oil. It's actually a little known fact that the olive oil industry is not heavily regulated. Therefore, lots of companies claim they're selling 100% olive oil, but really their bottles are tapped with other unhealthy oils, such as like soybean oil or grapeseed oil. And it's really important to make sure that you know what's going into your body and what you're putting into your body. So what I love about Cassandrino's is that all of their olives are hand-picked from century-old trees in Laconia, Greece, and these olives are pressed within 48 hours of harvest. They only sell the current year's harvest of olive oil as opposed to, you know, most store-bought brands, which are just sitting on the shelf for however long it takes to have them sold. And as you can imagine, the fresher the olive oil, as with any food product, the better. So you can truly taste the difference when you have Cassandrino's olive oil versus other store-bought brands. Another reason I love Cassandrino's olive oil is because it's a family-run business. To me, I find it really important to cultivate something that you love and grow and something that you're passionate about into a family business. So Cassandrino's was actually formed by Marine Tony Cassandrino's and his sister Effie in 2011. And it all started when Tony was bringing some of his family's, you know, olive oil to his local CrossFit gym. And over time, word built up with all the foodies and everybody was asking for their own bottle. And voila, they started creating Cassandrino's olive oil. And in 3 short years, the company is shipping on an international level and bring Cassandrino's to families all over the world. I love their olive oil. I love supporting family businesses. And like I mentioned before, he actually served as a Marine, and I believe he actually is still serving. So thank you, Tony. You can find Casandrinos on Amazon or on their website, casandrinos.com. And if you use the code kombucha, you'll save an extra 10%. I would really appreciate you supporting Casandrinos since they support my blog and podcast. And now on to this week's episode. Enjoy, everyone. Hi, Megan, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hey, Erica. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on again. So for those who don't know, Megan and I had actually previously recorded this episode, and a little bit of Mercury in retrograde got the best of my computer, and we lost the podcast episode. So I shouldn't say we. I did. So Megan has graciously agreed to re-record this with me. I'm so appreciative. So why don't we jump in? Megan, do you mind telling the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I am the founder of The Nutrition Addiction, which is a blog, a brand. I'm an online nutrition coach. I do individual and group coaching. I'm also a registered dietitian, and I've been doing this for a few years now. My specialty is metabolism. I like to focus on how can we increase your metabolism and get it, you know, fired up and burning as well as it can be, versus, you know, taking food away and taking calories away to help you lose weight, which I think is way more fun, right?
I totally agree. And you encourage, you know, that extra glass of wine or whatever you need to do. You don't take away our alcohol either, which we totally appreciate. No. So would you mind just explaining the difference between a registered dietitian and a nutritionist?
Yeah, for sure. It's mostly just education. So as a registered dietitian, you know, I have to go through 4 years of undergrad, and then I have to do a year of residency. And it's a very rigorous, specific path. You know, you have to take very specific classes. The residency is extremely competitive. I'm more competitive even than med school. I believe it is that only about 50% of registrants actually get in. And if you don't, you're kind of screwed. So, you know, we do have a lot more education, although that isn't to really knock nutritionists. I know tons of absolutely brilliant nutritionists, but that is just, you know, the primary difference. And I think as a registered dietitian, we are taught to really look at the science and really look at studies and not just, you know, read something off the internet where, you know, there are some people out there, you know, talking about nutrition who, you know, don't understand the science and are just, you know, either taking a course or just calling themselves a nutritionist. Unfortunately, some people can just, you know, just call themselves nutritionists without any education at all. So you just want to be careful.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the science, since this is kind of your forte. You encourage us all to up our fiber intake. And I feel like fiber is like this very trendy thing right now with the Gigi crackers and all of that stuff. So can you enlighten us a little bit why we should be upping our intake, and also like why are Gigi crackers such a big deal?
Yeah, let's talk Gigi crackers. It's funny, I actually just picked some up yesterday. So fiber, let's back it up a little bit and talk about blood sugar for a second, because I think that will be a good lead-in. Blood sugar is not the coolest, sexiest topic. Most of the time when we think about blood sugar, we think about diabetics. You know, that's something that they need to really pay attention to. And as a healthy adult, we're not really thinking about our blood sugar levels. But this is super important, especially when it comes to metabolism and just our energy levels and our, you know, fighting cravings. And there's just a million different reasons why we need to pay attention. But if we're talking about metabolism specifically, when your blood sugar is unsteady, or I like to call it the blood sugar roller coaster, when it's going up and down and up and down all day long, every time you spike your blood sugar, your body releases insulin. And insulin is a storage hormone. You know, the insulin comes out, it picks up all the extra sugar in your blood, and it stores it somewhere. And it needs to do that, otherwise you'll die. I mean, it's really important. But, you know, it'll store the sugar in your liver, it'll store the sugar in your muscles, it's glycogen. But then once that's used up, where is it going to store? Your fat cells, unfortunately. So that's why when we're constantly spiking our blood sugar all day long, our bodies are just unable to burn fat. It makes it really, really difficult. Even if you're eating, you know, relatively healthy, I have so many people that come to me and they're like, I'm eating healthy, but I can't lose this stubborn fat. What's going on? And oftentimes it's because, you know, they're eating like every 3 hours and they're snacking on popcorn and, you know, 100 calorie packs and even things like bananas or green juice. These are all, you know, full of sugar. And so you're getting these blood sugar spikes all day. So, you know, what do we do to combat that? There's a few things, but fiber is a really important player here because fiber will help slow down that spike in your blood sugar. It acts kind of like a buffer. And so when you slow down that blood sugar spike, healthy fat does this as well. But since we're talking about fiber, when you slow down that blood sugar spike, you're able to kind of, you know, prevent your body from being in this fat storing mode for hours and hours and hours every day. So that's one thing that it does, which is great. Another thing it does is it keeps us really full. It's like a bulking agent. You know, it goes through our system and it expands in our stomach and it fills us up really quickly with very little, you know, calories and carbohydrates. It's not a lot of food, or our bodies don't absorb fiber. It just kind of like moves through our system and makes us really full, which makes it a really great weight loss tool, you know, because you can eat 4 Gigi crackers and be stuffed, and it's really not a lot of food. But it's super nutritious because you're getting all this fiber, which moves through your system. It pulls toxins, it absorbs cholesterol. It's really healthy for your gut health. And our bodies also, just to kind of back up again and to talk about, you know, what do you mean it doesn't, you know, we don't absorb fiber. We really don't. It just moves right through our system from our mouth out the other end. And so if you look at like a food label that says, you know, there's 20 grams of fiber, or sorry, there's 20 grams of carbohydrates in this food item. There's 5 grams of fiber. You're really only eating 15 grams of carbohydrates. You can subtract that fiber out because it just doesn't count.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that's why it's such a good weight loss tool. So these Gigi crackers, for anybody who doesn't know, I feel like so many people are talking about them these days, but you can buy them on Amazon, you can buy them at Whole Foods, but they're these really, really fibrous crackers that are primarily all fiber. I can't remember what the stats are on them exactly, but I mean, I think maybe each cracker is like 2 carbs once you add in the fiber. And people are using them as a weight loss tool because they're so filling. You can eat 4 crackers for like, you know, barely any carbs. These aren't going to spike your blood sugar at all. They're going to keep your blood sugar super low. It's going to keep you super full. I will say, if you guys are out there like Googling it right now, being like, ooh, I need to buy some of these, you do need to eat them with something because they do sort of taste like cardboard.
They taste awful. I like literally, I remember the first time I had them and I was like, I'm not touching these again. But then I remember reading the benefits of them after that. And I was like, oh, all right, I got to figure out a way to make it work.
Well, so I love, and I get this from Lauren from The Skinny Confidential. She has a awesome recipe on her site for Gigi pizzas. And, you know, you just put some marinara, you melt a little like mozzarella cheese or cottage cheese and, you know, some seasoning on it, and you pop it in the microwave. I do recommend if you do it in the microwave, it softens them up and makes them taste a lot better. Oh, I feel like sometimes I hate talking about these because I'm like, it sounds like I'm promoting like this super diet food, but these really are good for you. It's not like, you know, the 100 calorie packs or like, you know, something with a bunch of weird ingredients. Like, it's literally just straight up fiber and it is so freaking good for your digestive system. So you know, it is, and there's other options too. Like there's other high fiber crackers. Like this one is just like exceptionally high fiber.
Now, what are some other good sources of fiber?
So actually I love avocado. A lot of people don't realize that, but avocado is full of fiber. You know, a big avocado has like 10 grams. And it's also filled with healthy fats. So you get kind of a double whammy there. Going back to talking about blood sugar, the two things that really help control your blood sugar are healthy fats and fiber. So avocado to me is just like, it's a superfood. Some other good options, any non-starchy vegetable, you know, like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, tomatoes, just any and all vegetables that aren't, you know, like potatoes and things like that are not going to, those are going to be more starchy, but any sort of non-starchy vegetable is a really good source of fiber.
So I feel like sometimes in the morning, I can even tell just because I know my body that my blood sugar spikes in the morning just because based on my breakfast, and that could be because maybe I have too much sugar in my smoothie. Maybe just because I have too many bananas in it or too much fruit in it. Or, you know, it just depends, but I can definitely tell when my blood sugar is going high or going low. So do you have any, like, go-to breakfast recipes or things that you should have first thing in the morning to kind of prevent that?
Yeah, totally. So this happens all the time. People, you know, eating or drinking smoothies in the morning. I have so many clients that I'll say, okay, we're going to do a smoothie in the morning. And they're like, no, I can't do smoothies because they only keep me full for an hour and a half. Well, yeah, because you're drinking a smoothie with 2.5 cups of strawberries and a banana in it. And while fruit is so good for you, it does still have a lot of sugar. And especially in the morning, if you think about it, you haven't eaten anything all night. Your blood sugar is pretty low. You know, it's evened out. It's, you're not going up and down. And you suddenly hit it first thing with all that fruit and it's just going to go through the roof. So my tip here, would be to lessen the fruit. You know, I love berries. Berries are higher in fiber than any other type of fruit. So I love to favor berries in the smoothie. And then I love to add like chia seeds. I didn't mention that before, but that's actually my favorite source of fiber are chia seeds. Cause they're filled with both protein, fiber, and healthy fats. You know, add a tablespoon or two of chia seeds in there with maybe, you know, I really try to get my clients to not do more than 1/2 cup of fruit. Sometimes, you know, especially if you're doing like a low sugar berry, 3/4 cup is fine. Kind of depends on the person, honestly, and how much activity they're doing. If this is like someone who runs marathons, I'm probably going to, you know, add a little more fruit in. If you don't work out at all, you don't need as much fruit. You don't need as much sugar and carbohydrates in your system. But let's just say stick to about 1/2 cup of fruit, add a tablespoon or two of the chia seeds. And then of course you need your healthy fat to keep your blood sugar steady. So whatever that looks like to you, almond butter, a tablespoon of almond butter, coconut oil, MCT oil, you know, and then just kind of fill it in with, I love doing like unsweetened almond milk just because it doesn't really add anything. It's just flavor. If you want to throw in a handful of greens, awesome. You want to add some cacao powder or, you know, whatever other magic foods you have in your cabinet, you can add those into. But most importantly, it's, you know, the protein and a scoop of protein. I didn't say that, but adding a scoop of protein too, because protein is going to keep you, that's what's really going to keep you full all morning, is the protein. So scoop of protein, maybe a tablespoon or two of the chia seeds, or if you can't tolerate chia seeds, you can do, there's like acacia fiber, there's psyllium husk, or flax seeds, you know, whatever, just some sort of fiber source there, about 1/2 cup of fruit, and then maybe a tablespoon of some sort of fat. And then, you know, if you're not a big smoothie person, which I'm actually not, disclaimer, but I'm actually not a smoothie person, then, you know, some eggs with some avocado, perfect. Maybe a side of veggies if you're really feeling healthy.
I love those suggestions, and that's funny that you said that, because I was going to bring up chia seeds, because last time we talked, you were like, just give it a try, throw a couple in there, and I have been lately, and you're right, they definitely do keep you full longer.
They do. They just
they actually make a difference.
Stand in your stomach. Well, if you've ever made like chia pudding, which is another, if you guys don't know what chia pudding is, just, you know, put it in Google. But it's basically you just put some chia seeds into liquid, almond milk, water, whatever. I love to add a little protein powder, and it sets up and turns into a pudding because the chia seeds expand. So it does that in your stomach too, which is why it makes you so full, like all morning.
So interesting. I didn't even like think about that whole concept, but you're right. So is that what basically the smoothie that you just broke down, is that the whole concept behind the PHFF?
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up.
So that stands for protein, healthy fat, and fiber?
Yep.
And that's just kind of like your model of what you should eat at every meal?
Yep, exactly. Just, you know, I kind of came up with that years ago as something easy to remember, like when you're sitting down to a meal, PHFF, okay, where's my protein, where's my healthy fat, where's my fiber? And these three things are like, it's like your trifecta to keeping your blood sugar steady and keeping your body in a fat burning mode versus a fat storing mode. So, you know, the protein is important because protein revs up your metabolism. It keeps you full. It's we call it the most satiating, you know, macronutrient because it just makes you feel full. So that's why protein is so important. And protein also helps maintain your muscle mass, which is really important when it comes to your metabolism and how many calories you're burning every day. The healthy fat we've already talked about, you know, keeps your blood sugar steady. And it's also that's just good. Like when we eat fat, we're just like, yes, I feel satisfied, you know? and then fiber, of course, we've talked about. And, you know, as far as eating, you know, starchier carbs, we've talked a lot about, you know, eating really fiber-rich carbs like veggies. I am totally for eating starchy carbs, not for eating them all day long. I think that's kind of where you run into trouble, where you're constantly, you know, spiking your blood sugars when you're eating these starchy carbs every few hours. So, you know, keep it to one or two meals a day and you're going to be just fine.
So interesting. So I feel like in the past, well, at least when we were growing up, calories were such a big thing. It's like count your calories. If you want to lose weight, you should only be, you know, deduct 500 calories from your total, you know, daily intake, blah, blah, blah. How do you feel about that as a registered dietitian?
Well, you know, I think that it's that theory and that idea is just kind of dated. You know, you even said like growing up, this is what we knew. And we just know so much more about the human body now. Do calories count? Yes. I'm not saying that, you know, go out and eat, you know, 3,000 calories a day when your body only needs 2,000, just because it's, you know, if it's just healthy food, if it's paleo, you're not going to gain weight. That is so not true. But I don't like to focus on calories, because when you focus on calories and you constantly eat a lot less than what your body needs when you're trying to lose weight, you are just lowering your body's set point of, you know, what it can tolerate, the amount of calories per day that it can tolerate. And it's going to end up vastly slowing down your metabolism. And that's why so many people do it. They lose weight and then they gain it all back. Whether it's because their body's been in this like low state of starvation and finally it just can't handle it anymore and it's like, feed me. Or if it's, you know, it believes that it's in a starvation state. It believes you're in the middle of the desert somewhere and you don't have enough access to food. It doesn't understand that you're on a diet. And so it starts to just lower and lower and lower and lower your metabolism, making it more and more difficult to sustain the weight loss. It's so much better to focus on how can we, you know, rev up my metabolism, increase my metabolism, and keep my body sort of in this fat burning mode, you know, instead of taking away calories. So I can tell you, like, I've had so many clients that they're either eating the same, about the same amount of like quote unquote calories a day, or sometimes even more, and they're losing weight. Because, you know, they're now in a their body is now in a state where it can effectively burn fat, whereas before it wasn't. So
that's so interesting too, because I am totally on board with what you're saying. And to me, I just think it's so much more important to focus on what you're putting into your body instead of how many calories each, you know, food item is.
Well, and you tend to get really obsessed too, which is never good for your, you know, for your mental health. I could talk about that for myself. You know, that whole idea and that whole mindset is definitely a part of my journey. And I can promise you it is not effective. You know, the more that you obsess about food and calories and dieting, the more difficult it really becomes to lose weight, because you start to get this all or nothing mentality. You know, that's what I find is when you have that all or nothing mentality, you're constantly like, you know, under eating and then binging and then under eating and then binging, and then I'll start over on Monday. And then you end up, you know, binging for 3 days. And you were getting a little more into food psychology here, but it's something that I see so incredibly often that I think it's important to bring up.
100%. I know myself, I've dealt with that for so long. You become so obsessive about what you're putting into your body, and it's not healthy. You shouldn't be thinking about it 24/7, whether it's in a good way or a negative way. So can you just shed a little light on, I guess, how you were able to get through that yourself, or maybe how you help clients get through that? Because I feel like you said before, that's really, really, really important.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I kind of got to a point where this, and a lot of this journey for me was in college. I became really obsessed with nutrition in high school, and it wasn't in an unhealthy way at all. But then in college, it started becoming more and more unhealthy. And part of that, honestly, was some of the stuff I was learning in school. You know, at the time, we had a lot of dated ideas of, you know, 1200 calorie diets. And I was, you know, restricting myself so much to where I would then, you know, overeat, and then I would undereat, you know, the exact same pattern that I just mentioned. And I was doing that for so long, I mean, for probably 5 years at least. And it was so mentally frustrating. And I was gaining weight, you know, over the course of probably 5 years, I gained 20 pounds. And I finally got to a point where I was just like, this isn't working. Like, I'm under eating. I'm working out so hard every day, and I'm still gaining weight because I'm just so up and down all the time. And I started to really dig into research, and this is a time when I was starting my career too, and I was just constantly researching and looking at different food and nutrition theories. And what I was finding was that, you know, calories really are kind of stupid to focus on. And, you know, I started to understand how metabolism worked. And I consider myself lucky because, you know, most people don't have access to this information, and they just don't understand it. And that's when I became really passionate, as I started to change my diet, change my way of thinking. And I just started thinking about eating, you know, I wasn't necessarily 10 years ago thinking protein, healthy fat, and fiber. I didn't come up with that till later, but I was, you know, sort of doing that with every meal and just being a lot more intuitive about what I was eating. And the weight just started coming off like so easily. And I'm like, wow, like, this is major. This is like huge, you know, I don't have to obsess about food all the time. And when I don't, it's actually way more effective. So I'm really passionate about that now. And honestly, I don't talk to my clients about like emotional eating and food psychology. Like, we don't really talk about that too much. I just put them on a very basic plan of like, okay, and it's obviously individualized depending on the person, but you know, we do the protein, healthy fat, and fiber at every meal. And it's amazing. Within a couple of weeks, people are like, wow, I'm just like not thinking about food anymore. And I'm not obsessing over it. And like, this is so easy. And all my problems are going away. Like, what did you do? You know, and it really sometimes is just as simple as thinking about food in a different way.
I love that. And I actually want to talk a little bit about your nutrition plans. And for those of you that don't know, I actually went to Megan and I asked her to create a pregnancy meal plan for me, because not for anything out of like vanity. Of course, I don't want to gain like more, you know, 60, 75 pounds if I don't have to. My body knows what it's doing. It's going to gain weight. I'm pregnant. But I really just want to make sure that I'm getting all the right nutrients that I need for my body and for my baby. And I thought it was really important to kind of make sure that my nutrition plan was rounded out. So I went to Megan and she created this awesome meal plan. And kind of like what you said before, literally, I just like pull out your, you know, 15-page meal plan that you made me. And I like pick a random recipe and I was like, oh, that's so easy to make. Like, I didn't even think to make it. And I'm making it tonight for dinner. But like, how do you, I guess, like, how do you come up with your nutrition plans? And can you just tell us a little bit more about them, especially your new spring nutrition plan you have out?
Yeah, sure. So I do a couple things. I mean, I will make custom plans for people. I do that all the time. And when I'm doing a custom plan, really what I'm doing is I'm getting a lot of information from you. I'm not just getting like your height, weight, and activity level, which is, you know, what a lot of nutrition plans are based off of. I'm going to ask for that, but I'm also going to ask for, you know, I need to know in detail what you're already eating. Are you severely under eating? Because if you're severely under eating, I'm, you know, going to work with you on bringing your food intake up very, 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 very slowly, not quickly. Because if I do that, you're going to gain weight. Are you overeating? Okay, let's, you know, take away a little bit, not too much. I don't want to, you know, crash your metabolism. So there's a lot of different things that go in and just your hormone health and, you know, your overall health. I ask tons of questions and, you know, come up with a plan that works for you and that I believe is going to work for you. And so I do that. And then I also do, you know, I'll sell just standard plans for people to follow. And I just launched actually a spring plan, which I'm calling just a spring reset. And it's really the way that I set it up is, you know, I set up like, you know, the protein and the healthy fat and the fiber at each meal is sort of the standard of like what works for most people, most women, I would say most women. And if it doesn't work for you, if it's not keeping you full enough, or if it's making you too full or whatever, I have guidelines to kind of help you adjust it within the plan so that you can kind of customize it yourself. But each meal is very simple. It's a protein, it's a healthy fat, it's a fiber. And it's just 30 days of meals and recipes. And there's a dining out guide that's included because I don't expect you guys to stay home for 30 days. And it's just a really good way to sort of reset and revamp your metabolism before summer.
Awesome. Yeah. I actually got that from you as well. And yeah. I love it. I'm kind of like going in between the two to like mix up my, nutrition, but I really love it. And I really encourage everybody to take a look at it. And you have a great deal going on for it right now.
Yeah. So I am going to, for this week, I'm going to offer your listeners, anybody listening here, a 20% off of the plan. So, the plan is listed at $79, but I'm going to give you guys 20% off. So, if you just go to, you want to do it in your show notes or if you come to me, on my Instagram, which is just The Nutrition Addiction, I will have it in my bio. Or you can, you know, message me or whatever. But if you guys want to take a look at it, if you put in BYOK in the checkout, you can get 20% off on it. And I'm also wanted to mention too, because I think this is the most important part, is we have a private Facebook group, which is I already kicked it off this week, and people are communicating and talking and helping each other. And we're going to do some Q&As in there too. So if you have any questions, any burning questions for me, like I'll be in there. We'll do a few of those, you know, periodically throughout the next 30 days or so.
I love that. And I really find that the community you're creating within that group is so helpful. It's so nice to like connect with other people and hear what they're struggling with or, you know, what their favorite recipes are. That's definitely totally helpful in conjunction with the nutrition plan.
I've learned that through, you know, my group coaching programs, which is just like, it's just invaluable to have, you know, just a whole support system and people helping each other out. It's really fun to watch. So I wanted to be able to give that to anybody that joined the Spring Reset too.
I love that. So talking about community, actually, I don't even know if that's a real segue to this, but let's talk about drinks. Let's talk about, even though I can drink this summer, but let's talk about some like summer drinks. I feel like whenever you like go to a resort and lay by the pool, they have the most sugary filled, you know, drinks out there. And, you know, when you go on vacation, you want to indulge, you don't want to be, you know, counting calories and like watching everything you put in your mouth, but at the same time, you don't want to just be like having that blood sugar crash and all that stuff. So what do you recommend?
So I never eliminate alcohol from my programs. I just think it doesn't work, because for people who like to have drinks, you know, one or two nights a week, if you cut it out, yeah, you might lose some weight from doing that. But when you add it back in, it's just going to come back. I mean, you have to learn how to eat in a way that is going to work for you long term. So with alcohol, actually, it's really interesting. Everyone thinks like, oh, alcohol makes me fat. Like, it's, you know, so fattening. It's really not. Alcohol, our bodies don't like to store alcohol as fat, but our bodies love to store sugar as fat. And oftentimes the two go hand in hand, right? Like sugary drinks, while you're drinking, your inhibitions are lowered. So you're, you know, eating the junk food at the table, whatever, you know.
You don't say.
Right.
Ordering pizza, so, you know.
I talk about that all the time. I feel like, how do you prevent yourself from, you know, overeating when you're drinking? I'm like, honestly, you have to kind of set yourself up ahead of time and make sure that you're full, and you don't ever want to go into a drinking situation and think like, I'm not going to eat, I'm just going to drink. Such a bad idea. Because you will inevitably end up eating, you know, an entire carton of ice cream. No, but so what happens is when we drink alcohol, our metabolism is lowered because our body is so focused on eliminating the poison that we are injecting into our bodies. Let's be real. I mean, alcohol is poison. And so things like metabolism just kind of get pushed to the side because it's really not that important. You know, what's important is that you don't get alcohol poisoning. And so because of that, you really want to make sure what you're eating and drinking with the alcohol is really smart. And so, you know, I highly recommend you nix the sugary drinks, the sugary wines. Anytime you're adding sugar in with alcohol, you are going to, you know, you're going to get a blood sugar spike, but even more so, that sugar in your blood is going to be very likely stored as fat just because of everything else that's going on. So, you know, I love to do like, you know, vodka, tequila, you know, the harder liquors that don't have sugar in them, and pair it with, you know, a club soda, or there's so many good sparkling waters now. I mean, there's so many options, you know, LaCroix, like whatever it is, you know, pairing it with something like that, adding some cucumbers, some fresh fruit. If you're out at a restaurant, like margaritas, for example, super easy. Margaritas are full of sugar unless you order them right. And so, you know, you can ask for just like tequila with a little bit of like orange liqueur, like Cointreau or triple sec, and fresh lime juice. And then be sure to tell the bartender no agave. And I know that probably sounds crazy to some of you. You're like, ew, like that would be so sour. It's not. I promise it's not. It's so good. I have people that message me, I swear, almost every day, like, oh my gosh, I just ordered your skinny margarita. It's the best thing ever. So, you know, you can do little things like that. And to prevent yourself from, you know, storing all that sugar from drinks.
Absolutely. And you actually know a lot about this because you and your husband just opened up a restaurant. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So that's been crazy. We aren't open quite yet, but we're like super duper close. Pretty much just have to get through a couple more inspections and we will be opening. It's a tavern and oyster bar here in Atlanta. So anybody listening from Atlanta, message me and you'll be invited to the grand opening. But yeah, I'm a little bit of, I would say we're a little bit of alcohol pros, I guess. I don't know if that's a good thing, but.
I love that.
Yeah, skinny cocktails on the menu. No.
So do you have any podcast recommendations or book recommendations for someone who wants to do a little bit more research on the things that you spoke about today?
Yeah, sure. So you know what I love to do is not necessarily, I need to actually get better about wellness podcasts. So maybe I should be asking you, but one thing I like to do is look at people in the industry that I really like dietitian Cassie Bjork. I love her. I love Kelly Levesque, and I'll just go in and, you know, search them in you know, in my podcast app, and I might listen to something that they're talking about because I trust them, I know them, I love what they have to say. But I'm a huge fan of Jonathan Baylor. I actually love his podcast. You check that out. But Jonathan Baylor wrote a book called The Calorie Myth, and it's amazing. I don't, you know, I don't agree with absolutely everything in the book, but the science is incredible. It really outlines like why focusing on calories is just not a good idea. And it's so eye-opening. I also love anything by Chris Kresser. He has a great podcast too. He's super scientific, so he's not for everybody, but if you like to really nerd out on nutrition, he's a really good one too.
He literally knows like everything. Like
I can't even wrap my head around everything. Like when people ask me, you know, what sort of resources do you use online to look up like really complicated cases? I'm like, Chris, I just go to Chris. He knows everything.
He really does. Yep. So where can everybody find you?
You can find me at The Nutrition Addiction, pretty much across all platforms. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just make sure you write in the, because everyone forgets that. It's The Nutrition Addiction. And my name is Megan Tober.
And I'll say that in the introduction as well. And so I have one more question for you, and you definitely know what this question is by now. But what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
I love the, I believe the brand is Kavita.
Okay, so you probably know the answer to this right now, but what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
I love the, I believe it's the mojito. I think I'm going to say this wrong. It's like mojito mint or something like that by Kavita. Have you ever had it?
No.
Mojito something. Huh. Oh my God. It's so good. Wait, it's so good mixed with vodka.
I was just going to say, it probably sounds like a great like kombucha cocktail kind of theme there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That is definitely my favorite way to drink kombucha. I also love, so Kroger, which is my like main grocery store in the South here, they have an organic line called Simple Truth, and they have a strawberry kombucha that is so, so yummy. So if anyone out there has access to Kroger, you need to, and it's so cheap too, because it's like their, you know, their store brand.
So interesting. I've actually never tried strawberry kombucha before, but literally at least 3 podcast guests have said strawberry kombucha. I've never tried it.
I think it's a newer flavor. I feel like it didn't used to be around that much, but everyone I think is doing it now because it is really, really yummy.
I can't wait till I can start having kombucha again.
You can't have kombucha when you're pregnant. I didn't even know that. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to like,
it totally makes sense.
Yeah. You're supposed to have it in like really small increments, if any at all. So I've just kind of been like, you know, first time mom trying to be like a little bit conservative.
Wow. Well, I learned something today.
There you go. And we learned so much from you today. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. Even more fun this time than last time.
Oh.